I'd like this morning, if I can, to speak a little about thorns. I would say that's some subject to have, especially at Christmas. But I've got lots of scriptures written down, and you know, I don't know if I'm really an expert at going from scripture to scripture. But what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to start, and I don't mean to make a joke when I say this, but I'm starting at the end. And then I'm going to end with the beginning. No, that's not true. I'm going to come back to this portion of scripture later. I want to read from John's Gospel on chapter 19. And there's a few verses here that I want to read as an introduction. Just excuse me, I'm taking off this coat. John's Gospel, chapter 19. And we're going to read the first seven verses of John's Gospel, chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plotted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." We'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Our Father, this morning we thank you and praise you for the songs of redemption. We thank you, Lord, for your love towards your people. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together in this fashion this morning around your word. We ask you, Lord, you'll close us in with yourself. We ask the Holy Spirit will come among us and speak to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, you'll help us to rightly divide the word of truth this morning. And Lord, we come against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness this morning. We ask, Lord, your word will have free course in all of our lives. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we want to present you this morning. We want to present a living Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that you're available. And thank you, Lord, you're still the same today as you were when you walked the streets of Jerusalem and the shores of Galilee. Lord, visit with us now, I pray. Let not nothing be said that ought not to be said, but let the things that are said this morning bring glory and honor to your holy name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, you may have your seats. Thank you. And I said I was going to begin at the end and end at the beginning. But I want to say this morning, and I hope to come back. I'm going to come back. We're going to go away from this portion of Scripture, but we're going to come back to it, the Lord willing. And I want to say that one of the greatest titles in the Bible for a sermon was spoke by a man who wasn't even a Christian, and his name was Pilate. And he had three words for the title, and them three words was three of the most important words that anybody could ever hear. And they were very simple words, The words, behold the man. Now, there's an alternative to beholding the man. And the alternative to beholding the man is the crown of thorns. The crown of thorns. Now, I want to speak to you this morning about the thorns, because there's more to this crown of thorns than just a crown of thorns. You know, staying with this portion for a while, when I used to read this years ago, I used to read how, and you'll read how that Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. He sent him to the whipping post, and by his stripes ye were healed. Jesus Christ was striped on a place we know at the whipping post, the judgment hall. He took your place. He took my place. He took the place of every sinner that would trust him. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And by his stripes this morning we are healed. Thank God for healing. Thank God that Jesus was striped for the healing of the nations. But there was something more sinister in the act that the soldiers done. And them were the Roman soldiers. They had to plot a crown of thorns. Let me say this to you this morning, and it's the year 2017, and it's almost gone, and the same spirit that was behind the plotting of them crown of thorns is in the world today, and it's plotting another crown of thorns, and it wants to put it on the head of Jesus, and it wants to put it on your head, and it's a crown of thorns that represents the Antichrist spirit. Now, I don't want to just maybe hit on that this morning, just right away this morning, but I want to go back, if we can, into the scriptures and look at what the thorn represents. And you know what I want to say, what the soldiers did to Jesus Christ was worse than what Pilate done when Pilate had him scourged. Now I know there was a great pain, there was a great agony, and it was the striping of Jesus, and we believe he had 39 stripes. We believe it was the cat of nine tails, and we believe that his back was left like a ploughed field. And the Bible, the prophet always said, his face was marred more than any man. And he said he gave his back to the smiters, didn't he? And they spat upon him, and they pulled the beard out of his face. And then they nailed him to the cross. But what them soldiers done, they done even more when they made a crown of thorns and they placed it on his head and they put on him a purple robe. I tell you, you see these thorns, they're first mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 18. And I'm not going to turn to it this morning, but they represented the fall of man. They represented the destruction of man. They represented that the earth would withhold its strength and bring forth thorns. Now, the thorns has a great representation this morning, because there's thorns everywhere. It's not right. There's thorns everywhere. And we're going to come away from this portion of Scripture, but remind me to come back to it, because I want to come back to it. And let me say this. You either behold the man and have the man, Jesus Christ, or else you have the crown of thorns. You can't have both. You can't have both. But let me say this morning, the first mentioned there in Genesis, and they represented the curse. And You know, Jesus spoke about thorns, didn't he? And he spoke about them, and I've written it down here, and I'll just going to start turning, just tell it for a moment here. There's loads of scriptures in the Bible about thorns. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, you know, Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20, listen to these words. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravishing wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, Jesus spoke about gathering the grapes of the thorns. You don't gather grapes of thorns. And everybody knows that. Now, don't go looking for grapes among thorns. You're not going to get any. You're not going to get any there. Now, what type of thorns are these? These are thorns of identity. They're what they're identified. That's how you identify them. They're identified by what fruit they have. What fruit you see on a man or a woman is what they are. What fruit they produce is what they are. Now, you know, you could spend a lot of time on that, but I'm not here to spend a lot of time. You know, you could never cover this in one sermon, I don't believe. And maybe that's what's wrong with me. I'm trying to cover too much, and you know, you finish up, you've hit on nothing. You're shooting all over the place and you haven't hit one target. But here, I believe that these thorns are thorns of identity. They're given an identification. And Jesus said, "You'll not gather figs of thistles, or you'll not gather grapes of thorns." And that's what he said. And he said, "By your fruit ye shall know them." And he says, "Beware of false prophets." Now, the false prophet, the Lord said, here he comes in sheep's clothing. He doesn't come with a pitchfork and a pair of horns. Right. He comes dressed up. Mm-hmm. He's dressed for the kill. He is dressed for the occasion. He can put on the dress. Yes. He can talk the talk, yeah, but he can't walk the walk. I'm going to say that again. He might be able to talk the talk a little, but he can't walk the walk. And the Lord said, you don't get grapes of thorns. He says, do men gather grapes of thorns? He asked the question, but we know the answer. The answer is no. It doesn't happen. So the thorns of identity. Now, we'll maybe come back to that later, because you see, them Roman soldiers showed what they were. Rome showed what she is when she made up and plotted a crown of thorns. She's still plotting today. She's still weaving the thorns in and out. How do you, now let me say that, how do you plot something? How is something plotted? You know the way that, I'm saying it right, but you know the way the women would plot their hair? Do you know the way you would plot a rope? It's intertwined. Yes. Mm-hmm. I tell you, the devil has intertwined. Mm-hmm. And he has been plotting.
Yes.
And he has been mixing. Mm-hmm. He's a mixer. But God's a separator.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost's a separator. And the Holy Ghost's not a plotter. And he doesn't work with thorns. He works with the Holy Ghost. He works with the wine. He works with the oil and the wine. That's what he works with. Thank God there's oil and wine in Zion. Now, the Lord said about them thorns there, that they're thorns of Adapte. They'll let you know what you're working with.
Yes,
them thorns. And then there's other thorns. They're thorns of unfruitfulness. Where do you read about them? You read about them in Matthew 13 and verse 22. And in Matthew 13 and verse 22, this is about the seed. This is the parable of the sower. And Jesus is, he's making it known to his disciples. He's explaining a wee bit about it. He's talking a wee bit about the parable. He's talking a wee bit about the seed here. Now, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed represents the Word of God. And you know, Brother Branham said the spoken word is the original seed. Now, some people took it on them, that's not why I'm here this morning, some people took it on them to change the spoken word to the voice of God. The prophet never done that. The prophet said the spoken word is the original seed. But men come along and changed what a prophet said and said it was the voice of God. The prophet didn't say that. Now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but not, that's not why I'm here this morning. The seed, there's nothing wrong with the seed. Somebody says the word needs revived. No, it doesn't. The seed's perfect. It's an incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. And that's how you're born again. You're born again of an incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. And that seed today is as strong as what it was when it first came out. It's the same original seed. It doesn't need anything added to it. The germination life still there to bring forth. Praise the Lord. Now, I have to keep moving. In verse 22 of Matthew 13, he said, "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Now, people will tell you that you can't teach doctrine from a parable. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is a false statement. Jesus used parables all the time to teach doctrine. Jesus spoke to the people, and sometimes he never spoke to them without a parable. He spoke everything in parables. And he says, "Unto you it is given to know." Unto you it's given to know. So he's used a parable to teach all the time. But he said here that the people that received the seed among the thorns became unfruitful. They became unfruitful. When you become something, it tells me that you used to be something else. So the people that became unfruitful, there was a time when they were fruitful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying for you to become unfruitful, there has to be a time whenever you were fruitful, whenever you were bringing forth something, whenever you had something to give, you were fruitful. But something happened. You got in among the thorns. You let the thorns take over. So much so that you became unfruitful. You know, we're almost at the end of 2017. I'm not here to chastise you. I'm here to speak to you. I believe what is the Word of God. And when I speak it to you, if I ever point one finger at you, there's four of them pointing back, or three of them pointing back at me. I'm as guilty as you. I'm not saying you are guilty, but what I am saying is, I'm in the same boat. I'm in there too. You see what the Lord said there? He said the deceitfulness of riches. You know what I done one time? I had no work. You know what I done one time? I asked the Lord to give me work. I've a bit of advice for you. Never ask for work. I'm not saying be lazy. Never ask for work. I tell you, you'll get work. If you ask for work, you'll get work. If you'll get that much work, you'll not have time to do anything else. Only work. I want to ask you, what time have you? What time have you for yourself? I want to ask you, what time have you for your family? I want to ask you, what time have you for your pets? You say, I haven't got a pet. Are you doing it yet? Or is your house, is there plenty of water at your house? What time have we? I have very little time. What time does your day start out in the morning? What time does it end out at night? How often do you sit down for half an hour and don't move? You know, I heard a man preaching once, he's preaching about divine healing, and he said, how many people in here sit down on the chair for half an hour every day and don't move? Nobody was able to say, I do that. We've become fast, haven't we, in our lifestyle? We don't have a minute. You see, the Lord talked about the deceitfulness of riches. Mm-hmm. Do you know what to do instead of asking for work? Just ask the Lord to supply your need.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't need work, you just need Him to meet your needs. If He meets your need with less work, mm-hmm. would that not be better? Wouldn't it? Now, I'm not saying be lazy, don't get me wrong, but I have to move on, but there's the thorns of unfruitfulness. Now, we're going to move on here. There's more thorns. I tell you, there's lots of thorns. There's the thorns of neglect. Whereabouts are they? They're in Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, and there's the thorns of neglect. I was at the book of Proverbs, and then I turned away from it too far. We're looking for chapter 24, and we're looking for verse 30, brother. Hopefully I get to it before the meeting's over. Pages are stuck together. Now these are the thorns of neglect. In verse 30, we'll read these words. Now, I said, I sound like a bit that I'm contradicting myself here. But it says, so I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Now this is the opposite from what I just said. There's a balance. You know, remember Samuel preaching a sermon once about a balance. And I need to go back and listen to that again. We need to try to get a balance. And he says, verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, this is the thorns of neglect. You know, we know that Paul said, neglect not the assembling of yourselves together, as you see the day approaching as the manner of summers.
Yes.
You know, what happens when you start to neglect something? It starts to deteriorate. Once you start to neglect anything, it starts to go downhill. But here, you see a field. If you start to neglect a field, what happens with thorns? Thorns start to grow at the back of the ditch. Now that's a thorn ditch. So a thorn ditch will not be happy to be a thorn ditch. If it's left unchecked, it'll tick over. It'll tick over the field. If a thorn hedge is left unchecked, what happens? The seeds, the pebbles, comes down from the thorn bush and it falls into the ground and it takes root and starts to bring forth fruit. And the next thing you know, you have a wee row of thorns up the back of the ditch. And the boundary of that thorn hedge, for instance, it was here. But you go away and you come back in a year or come back in 2 years and the boundary has moved.
Yes, amen.
And you neglect that. And you keep on neglecting it, and you go away and you come back in another space of time, you'll find the boundary has extended. And what has happened? You have less ground. So you have lost ground. And you have lost the thorns, and you have lost the briars, and the ground that should be bringing forth fruit is unable to produce for you, and there's nothing there that you can feed on, but thorns has taken over. And you see, whenever this man of God, when he went by the field of the slothful, what does it mean to be slothful? You probably know better than me. See, if you're slothful, what have I written down about slothful? You know what I've written down about slothful? I've written down anything goes. You understand that? Anything goes. Oh, I know what that man said was false, but sure, what about it?
Yes.
I know what he said, it's not according to this book, but sure, what about it? We don't want to upset the apple cart. Slothful. Anything goes. Oh, I know that the Bible doesn't say that, but we want to. You see what will happen? The thorns will take over.
Yes.
And you see what the man was saying here, I'm low. It was all grown over. It was all grown over. It was all grown over with thorns.
Yes.
There was nowhere. What did Jesus say? He said a little leaven, a leaven the whole lump.
Amen.
If you have a group in one corner, they'll, before you know where they are, they're going to take over. They're going to start producing what they want.
Amen.
You see, they want to plot the crown of thorns there.
Amen.
They want the crown of thorns among you. They want to put it on your head.
Yes.
Take over your thinking.
Amen.
Take over the way you think.
Yes. Amen.
Tell you what they believe. See? You see the way the enemy comes in? He only has to get a seed. He only has to get a seed bed. You see, he wants to stop you from being fruitful. But he doesn't only want to stop you from being fruitful, he wants you to be slothful in business and slothful as regards to God and as regards to the things of God. He wants you to become slothful. He wants you to say, oh, I know there's a meeting on, but I don't know if I can make it or not. He wants you to say, I know we should be praying, but I don't know if I can make it or not. He wants you to be so slothful that you become neglectful.
Yes, amen.
How shall we escape?
Yes, amen.
If we neglect so great a salvation. And you know what a man said once, and I believe it's true, that's not to the unsaved, that's to the saved.
Amen, yes.
You can't neglect something that you haven't got.
Amen. Right.
You can neglect salvation.
Amen.
You can neglect it. And it's a serious thing to neglect it. You'll get the thorns if you neglect. You'll get them. They'll grow. You'll not have to try to make them. They'll grow. Any farmer will tell you. They'll grow. They'll not grow where you want them to grow. But they'll grow. They'll grow. They'd rather grow in the middle of the field than in the hedge. Why? Because they stand out. You see, it said something else here. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof. Uh-huh. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. What does that mean? It lost the defence. What's the stone wall for? The stone wall is to keep in what you want in. And it's to keep out what you don't want in. I'm going to say that again. The stone wall is to keep in what you want in and to keep out what you want to keep out. But when the stone wall is broken down, you are defenseless. You have nothing to withstand against the enemy. The enemy can come and the enemy can go at his will. With absolutely no resistance whatsoever. All he has to do is to walk up and take over and walk into your ground, walk into your space. You know, I told the story to Lamar the other day about a cousin of ours, and our Billy used to tell this story. Now, I don't want to sidetrack you, but when you hear this story, I want to tell you. But this is a bit like the enemy. There's a cousin of ours, and he was a tough wee nut. That's the best way to describe him. He was a tough wee nut. And he was in the boys' club or the boxing club. But he was sitting on the big fella's seat. And the big fella came in and he came walking up to him with his chest out. And he said, "You're sitting on my seat." And, well, this tough nut wanted to be even tougher, so he's smoking a cigarette. That, by the way, that makes you tough, if you smoke a cigarette. Made him even tougher. Tough, he took a puff out of it, so they had more strength. And he got up and he took the cigarette, and it was glowing after he took the puff out of it. And he pulled it out with his wife's cheek. And then in a moment he closed his fist and he clipped him one. And that was the fight over. But you see, the enemy wants to take your space. He wants to take your chair. He wants to sit where you ought to sit. He wants to keep you from sitting in your seat, in your proper seat. He wants to break down the wall of defence.
Yes.
He wants to plant the whole field out in thorns and nettles, so there's no room for fruit. Neglect. Thorns of neglect. You know, the last thing the devil wants to do or to know about is whenever you go to your room and close the door, and you're just going to have a time with God. He never wants that to happen. Because he knows. And when you do that, the thorns stop growing and you have to retreat. And moving on, the stone wall was broken down. You see, there's all these thorns now, and this, I don't want to bore you to death here this morning changing. We're changing the channel, as it were. This is a bit like watching TV, and you'll not watch one picture. You're trying to watch a half a dozen at the one time and you see none of them. But now this morning, let us go to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 2. We have all the thorns here that's showing their face. You know, there's thorns all over this place. And these are the thorns of rebellion. The thorns of rebellion. And what does the thorns of the rebellion do? They say that word, that's not for us. That's what they do. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here, or a few verses here again in Ezekiel chapter 2. And we're going to read from I want to read especially verses 6 and 7. Now, I don't know if I'm right when I say 6 and 7. think I'm right. Well, we'll read a few verses more. We'll maybe just read. I'll stop talking and I'll just read from verse 1. And the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. Now that's a man sent from God. Hallelujah. And God always had a witness, we know that. And God can't be held responsible for never speaking. For God has spoke again and again, and especially in the 20th century, he spoke, and he spoke very clearly, and it was with open vision he spoke. Praise the Lord. And this is what he said here, and he said, For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And you know, he said, Thus saith the Lord, in the 20th century. God done it again. God spoke again. Not that he needed to, but he did. He spoke again, and he spoke with Thus saith the Lord. And verse 5 says, And while they will hear, while they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. And now, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dwellest among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak unto them my words, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, where they will hear, or where they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. They're the thorns of rebellion. There's thorns again there. And they're rebellious thorns. You know what it is to have a rebellious spirit? I'll tell you what it is. When you hear something preached from the Word of God, people turn around and say, That's not for us. It's not speaking to us. It's not for us. That's what they say. They rebel against the Word of God. That's thorns. And he says here, Be not afraid of their words. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And he said, Thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with them. Now, what sort of... He's not just talking about a briar or a thorn that grows at the back of the ditch, is it? It's that spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. And he says, don't be afraid of it. Now, I'm moving on this morning, and that's the thorns of rebellion. That's the thorns whenever somebody can go into a meeting and they call themselves a Christian, and they hear what their baptism preached, as it should be, and they say, that's not for us. That's a spirit of rebellion. Saying, no, we'll stick with what we know. You see, when God speaks a word, we need to react to it. We need to respond to it. You know, I'm soon done, don't worry, I'm soon done turning the scriptures. I want to turn to Micah chapter 7. And I want to read verses 1 to 7. The book of Micah in chapter 7. And I'm just going to read it for the sake of time. I need to keep moving here. I'm reading it. It says, This is the prophet Micah, and this is what he said. He said, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleaning of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit." The good man is prized out of the earth, and there's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. The hunter every man has brother with a net, that they may do evil with both their hands earnestly. The prince asketh, the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man he uttereth his mischief desire, so they wrap it up. Now listen to verse 4. Do you know what I believe this describes? This describes the European Parliament. I believe this is what this really describes, this, and I believe it describes the Vatican and Rome, the Antichrist system. I believe this is what you're reading about here. It says, "The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity." Now, there's a day coming that the watchmen, and you know the watchmen are the people who are praying, and they're going to have a visitation. God's people is going to have a visitation. We have had a visitation, we're going to have another one. I believe that. And you see, the watchmen have been watching, they've been on their knees, they've been asking God. But you see, it says the best of them, then, when I talk about them, I'm talking about the people in Brussels. That's who I'm talking about. Now, you can discern yourself if I'm right or wrong. And I'm talking about the Vatican. I'm talking about the papacy. I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist. I'm talking about Rome rising up. And it says the best of them is as a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. And it goes on to say, I'm going to end it there at verse 4. I've just written down, end it there at verse 4. Now, I want to come back again. I know that's maybe a bit mixed up, but I want to say something here. I want to say something here before I go any further. I believe we need to be praying for Theresa May. I believe that. I have been, I don't want to be boastful, but she's been in my thoughts and prayers over the past month. And Theresa May, the enemy's against her. Now you might say, "Oh, she never should have been in there." Well, she never should have, well, she should. That's not the concern. The concern is that she's down there and she's among thorns and briars. And she's trying to get a deal for you and me. You know, if they had their way, this Bible would be closed. If that Antichrist system could have its way, there'd be no preaching the gospel. That's the thing that they want to stop. But you know also what they're working at? We know they're working at the mark of the beast. So if you can't buy or sell, see if heaven has the mark or the number of his name. And I'm glad today that Britain comes out of the EU, so-called, out of the common market, so-called, or out of the European Union, so-called. And I say, let them keep their money. And they have no money. They have nothing. They've only got the wine of Fort Fornication. And the best of them is as a briar. What do you do with a briar? You take a billhook. If you know what a billhook is, it's an instrument with a long shaft, and there's a turn on the end or a straight end, and it's sharp, and you slice them. You cut them off. God's going to cut off the briars and thorns in one day. There's a verse in here that tells me that. He's going to cut them off in one day. I tell you, Theresa May is in among a den of weasels there. She's in among the thorns there. Now, God bless her. You may say, "Oh, John, she's a woman, she ought to be at home." Yeah, I'm not disputing that, I'm not arguing that. But who else? Where was the man to stand up? Where was he? What happened to Boris Johnson? What happened to him? He lay down in the traces. That's what happened to him. What happened to Nigel? Nigel Farage, he said he'd blown all the shouting and he got them out when he got them. Well, he's still there. I know he's still there. But he didn't. He needs to drive it home. Don't quit. I tell you, the enemy's against you. What are they doing down in Brussels? I can tell you what they're doing down in Brussels. They're making the crown of thorns again. They're plotting the crown of thorns. That's what they're doing. Plotting the crown of thorns. You see, they don't want the Lord. They want the crown of thorns. You see the way it works. We're back to John 19. We're back to John 19. You know, Pilate wasn't really a bad man. He wasn't. He had a wife. Don't be surprised if you meet her in glory. Why did I say that? Well, she came to him and she said, "You have nothing to do with this just man." Oh, that was her testimony. "You have nothing to do with this just man. For I have suffered many things this day because of him in a dream." God was visiting with her. Why would God give her a dream? And she just came, that was her testimony. "Have I nothing to do with this just man?" But there, Pilate took Jesus and he scourged him. Well, he had to do something, hadn't he? He had to show his authority. He had to show his man-made authority, hadn't he? He took him and he scourged him. But then, there's something else here. There's the spirit of Antichrist working. What does it do? It came on the Roman soldiers. It's on the Roman soldier today. It's on the EU members today. It's in the world today. It's the spirit of Antichrist. What's it doing? It's plucking a crown of thorns and wants to put it on the head of the Savior. You know, when you work with thorns, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get wounded. Jeremiah the prophet said, "Sow not among thorns." But he said, "Break up the fallow ground." You know the best thing for the wee thorn to take them out is the plough. Plough them right up. Plough through them with a plough. And we need to plough through them with the word of God. We need to plough through them with the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We need to plough through them with saying, "This is thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God that can't change." Plough them out to the root. See, when the plough goes through. Why does the farmer plough the field? I'm going to tell you. Everybody in here knows, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I know you know, but I'm going to tell you. He ploughs the field to make a seed bed. Preparation. Preparation. You know, those churches has went for years and they never ploughed a field. Did you know that? They never ploughed a field one time. Why? Well, they weren't sowing a soon now.
Yes, that's the truth.
Go for years. Tommy calls them aquarium keepers. You just look at the fish in the bowl.
Yes.
They just go round and round. The fish in the bowl goes nowhere. Did you know that? Goes nowhere. Can't go anywhere. He's fenced in so much. Same old thing, day in, day out. He never has to fight in that war. Or that one in the bowl. No fighting to do. He's just like a, what is it? He's just a robot. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, the plot at the crown of thorns. But I said that Pilate wasn't a bad man. Well, I wouldn't like to be the pen. I wouldn't like to be him at the same time. But he washed his hands of it, didn't he?
Yes.
And he brought him forth. He presented Christ. You can't take that away from him. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." That's his testimony. "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him."
Yes.
Behold, I bring him forth to you. Pilate presented Jesus Christ. He presented Jesus Christ, not in the gospel, but it was still the word spoke. He still spoke the word, didn't he?
Yes.
Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. He presented Jesus Christ. And then he had one of the greatest titles that ever was for a gospel sermon. He had the one and only greatest title. Now I know that John the Baptist had the same title in the senses, but he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And that was the Holy Ghost. That was, I tell you, it wasn't the devil that told Pilate to say that. We know it was the Holy Ghost in John the Baptist when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." But here Jesus is brought forth again to the multitude. And what do we see? We see Pilate and we see Jesus, and we read in verse 5 of John's Gospel 19, we read in verse 5, the Bible says, "Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns." He's wearing the crown of thorns. He took the curse. You know the thorns represented the curse. He took the curse. But you know, Pilate has said, Jesus is wearing the purple robe. And you know, what's this? What are these thorns? These thorns are the thorns of rejection. These crown of thorns are the thorns of rejection. And you know, to reject Christ is to have the crown of thorns. To reject this word is to have the thorns. And Pilate presents Christ. And whenever he presents Christ, you read how that Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And you know, they put it on the purple robe, they put it on him to mock him. There's the mocking of the thorns. Thorns will mock you. Thorns will mock you. Thorns will make fun of you. Thorns will degrade you. Thorns will demote you. Thorns will not believe you when you tell them the truth. Did you hear that? Thorns will not believe you when you tell them the truth. They will not believe. They will still not believe because they're thorns.
Yes, that's right.
But they'll mock you. And you know, Pilate spoke these words, and oh boy, how many words is there? There's only three words here. When Jesus come walking out with a crown of thorns and the purple robe, and you know the purple robe spoke of the priesthood. And it didn't only speak of the priesthood, but it spoke of royalty. And it spoke of deity. That's what it spoke of. Royalty and deity. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." When he donned the purple robe, it was a mockery, but really and truly he was the son of David. And really and truly he was the rightful king of Israel.
Amen. Yes.
When Pilate brought him forth, Pilate presented him to the people. He presented him to the multitude. And then he says these wonderful words, and I love them. "Behold the man." "Behold the man," he said. "Behold the man." But they never saw the man. They never saw him. What did they see? They saw the crown of thorns. They might have saw the purple robe, but they saw the crown of thorns. They wanted blood, but they didn't want redemption. They didn't want redemption blood. They wanted the same blood that Cain wanted. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. Behold the man. You know, people need to behold the man in 2017. People need to be brought face to face with this same Jesus. This same Jesus needs to be presented. He needs to be lifted up. He needs to be mentioned. If he's not mentioned, he's not presented. I believe that you have to mention him. He wasn't without mention. What does it mean to behold somebody? Tell me that. What does it mean to behold somebody? I can tell you what I think. It means to examine.
Yes, amen.
Examine him. Look upon him. Think about him. Discern him. Discern him. You know what's wrong today? People can't discern Christ.
No.
They can't discern the Holy Ghost. They can't discern the Spirit of Antichrist. They can't discern the thorn from the wheat.
No
discernment. Why is there no discernment? We'll never feed on the Word.
Amen.
If you don't feed on this Word, you have no discernment.
Amen.
This is where you get it.
Amen.
You get it from this book. You don't get it anywhere else. You have to get it from the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible says that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost wrote this book. He's the author. And he's the finisher of your faith. Behold the man. What happened? You see, the chief priest says in verse 6, when the chief priest therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. You see that same spirit today. It's on the TV. All it can do is kill him. It's in the Word. All it can do is kill him. You know, anybody can tell you you're going to die. It's not right.
Yes.
But not anybody can tell you you're going to live. Not right? See, Satan, he can't do anything else only make the thorn, the crown of thorn. That's what his game is, the crown of thorn. I tell you, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. They rejected him. I say that the thorns of rejection. To reject Christ is to have the thorn. To accept Christ is to be free from him, to get away from him. You know, I'm going to read it on through, and though the clock has run on in front of us today, but Pilate said something here. He said, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Then you see the religious demons that was among the Jews started to speak. They're still here today. They went back to what they had. You see, they went back and they said, the Jews answered him in verse 7, we have a law. We have a law.
Yes.
And by our law, so it's we and it's our. Whenever you hear about we, or whenever you hear about our, you watch out. What's them two things, them two statements? We don't do that, we do this. Our mom, our fellowship, our house, we are. Watch out for we and watch out for our. Watch out for them two things. He said, we have a law. And he says, and by our law, he ought to die. You see, they never beheld him. They never really beheld him. Because he made himself the Son of God. You see, they were told in plain English, as it were. It wouldn't have been English. Whatever it was, they were told in their own language.
that he was the Son of God, and the mocking thorns didn't believe. They didn't believe. You see, I don't wonder the angel said to Brother Branham, he liked that song, "Only Believe." Only believe. Oh, I tell you, all things are possible. Only believe. You know, the time has beat us again this morning. But I want you just to consider this here. They were the rejecting thorns. That crown of thorns. That crown of thorns was saying that we reject you, Christ as King. We reject you. We don't want you. And they're plotting it again today. I'm coming to the close. I want to read you. I've been all over the place. You have listened well. I'm grateful for it. And I just showed you how the scripture. There's a couple of scriptures, and I want to leave them with you. And one of them is found in Jeremiah, the prophet, the book of Jeremiah. And it's chapter 4, and I could quote it to you, but I'm going to turn it up. And it's verse 3. And this is what it says there. It says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns." Now that's a sermon in its own. Break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Now there's a word I believe all of us can take it. And I know I have been maybe rushing this morning and trying to cover a lot of things, but I want to read you what King David said. And these are the last words of King David. Now, they're not all of the last words, but these are some of the last words of King David. And you'll find them in the second book of Samuel, and it's chapter 23. And I'm going to read down the first 7 verses. If you bear with me here, I'm just going to read down the first 7 verses of chapter 23. I'm going to read these words. "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." Why, that was a man that had the Holy Ghost. He said, "The Spirit of God spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." I tell you, you need to pray for the politicians. You need to pray for what I call Arlene Foster. Now she's maybe in there deeper than what she should be, but what happened to Peter Robinson? You see, the thorns took over there. Peter Robinson is out of the will of God. I'm saying that. I believe that. He's a man out of the will of God. Because the thorns took over to destroy his life, to destroy his marriage, to destroy his wife. Thorns of neglect, sleuthfulness. They'll take over if they can. But we need to be praying, getting back, we need to be praying for Arlene Foster. I believe we ought to pray for the MPs. We ought to pray for them. The Bible says, Paul said it in Timothy, first of all, that prayers and supplications be made for all men, especially them who are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and a peaceable life. That's right. What did you say? We say we're a word bride. Well, if we're a word bride, we'll be doing that. That's what the word says. You're not doing it. Don't call yourself a word bride. Do this word and then you're a word bride. Don't do it. You're something else. You can put on whatever title you want. There's something else if you don't do. Now I'm not preaching works. No, I'm not. Don't think that. But listen to what David said here. And I'm going on in verse 4. "And he shall be as a light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even as a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. You know, David relied on God for salvation. He was relying wholly on God. He knew he hadn't got it of himself. Now listen to what he says about the sons of Belial. Verse 6, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. They can't be taken with hands. Now the thorns, if you go to the thorns, you're going to get wounded.
Yes.
You're going to bleed. You're going to suffer. Stay back, stay away from them. And this is what David says in verse 7. But he says, but the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron on the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. So in other words, the day that they come in contact with a man that's fenced with iron on the staff of a spear, the thorns is going to be burned with fire. We need to burn them with fire of the Holy Ghost. We need to burn the thorns every time we meet them. We need to burn them. Burn them with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Yes,
but the man that will touch them, he has to be fenced with iron. That's the arm you have to have on your armor. You don't have the armor on, you get among thorns, you're going to get a wound. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh, and I believe he never was out of the will of God, but he had a thorn in the flesh. You can read in this book where there's a thorn in your side. You can read in this book where there's a thorn in your eye. What has happened even when you get a thorn? You know, some churches have a thorn in their eye. They've lost the vision.
Yes.
They lost the vision when they got a thorn in their eye. Some people say that God no longer heeds. They've got a thorn in their side.
Yes.
They forget about Jesus and what Pilate done to them. And them Roman soldiers, they forget that by his stripes you were healed.
Amen.
Instead of that, they took a thorn. Behold the man, and you'll have him. Receive the man, and you'll have him. He's able to deliver himself. I'm glad. I want to thank you for listening. You know, them thorns. I'm glad that old Pilate, bad and all he was, he presented Christ. And he said, behold the man. You know, everybody, most people have got mobile phones now. You're oddball if you haven't got a mobile phone, isn't that right? Well, I'm going to tell you this story and then I'm going to sit down. The time's gone. My wife receives a news bulletin on her phone. I could probably get it in mine, but I just didn't bother. And she didn't maybe ask for it, but this comes on our phone. It's called News Briefing. News and Briefing. And you know, just about a month ago, there was an article on there, and my wife took the time to read it out to me. And it was about Franklin Graham coming to England. And Franklin Graham is the son of the great evangelist Billy Graham. Franklin Graham is trying to step into his dad's shoes. Now, I don't believe he ever could fulfill his dad's shoes, but bless him anyway, he's trying to preach a bit of gospel. And there was some group or some man in England invited him to come to England in 2018 for to have a crusade or for to speak at a big gathering or a big convention, and I don't know if he declined to come. I think he didn't. He was making plans for to come, but in the meantime, another so-called man of the cloth. Now that's what I'm going to say. A so-called man of the cloth minister. He raised up an arms, and he started to plot a crown of thorns. And this is what he said. He said he could not believe that any minister would ask for such a man as Franklin Graham to come to Britain to speak to the people, seeing that he was against the gay, seeing that Franklin Graham was against the gay community, and also that he had spoke out against the Muslim religion, that it was false. And he said there's no place in society in 2019 or 2018 for such a man as that among the people of Britain. And he has set forth a petition, and he has, to date, he has got thousands of signatures who say no to Franklin Graham coming to Britain. What's that today? Is that not another crown of thorns? That's the plot. That's the spirit of Antichrist.
Yes.
Why, I know they're getting ready to board. I know they're getting ready for judgment. But God has spoken. And God is patient. And the Bible tells me he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, thorns will stop the preaching of repentance. They'll stop the preaching of salvation through faith in God. They'll stop the preaching of the gifts of the Holy Spirit of the living God. They'll stop the preaching of the divine healing ministry. They'll stop the preaching of deliverance ministry. And they'll break the wall down. The thorns will break the wall down. And then you're open to everything. I'm going to pray. You've listened well, and God bless you. Praise the Lord. Our Father in heaven this morning, Lord, you warned about the thorns. But Lord, we're not here this morning. I know I've made it maybe a big issue of the thorns this morning. But God, I wouldn't want that your people would only see thorns this morning. I want them to see the man that Pilate presented. And more than what Pilate presented, what John the Baptist presented. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Our Father, this morning we come to you. As someone said, who else can we go to? We ask for government leaders this morning. We ask for Theresa May this morning. We ask for Arlene Foster. We ask for the DUP. Not, Lord, we're not that we are flying a banner for them. But Lord, you must have placed them in power. For the powers that be are ordained of you. And we pray, God, your hand would be on them.
Yes.
And we know, Lord, that the enemy wants to sow the seeds of discrepancy. And wants to plant a crown of thorns again to minister or to come over your ministers to hinder them and to harm them. And to make them bruised and weak and sore. But we pray for strength, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you said that you have reserved strength for your people. And said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
Lord, renew strength for people, for men and women in this room this morning. And strengthen us, Lord, with your might and with your power. And let your countenance shine upon us. And we ask you, Lord, that you'll come again. We know you're coming. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But Lord, may we start to do a bit of plowing among us. And may we break up a bit of fallow ground, Lord. May we hook on the plough, click in the plough, Lord, and make a straight four. And when we start to plough, Lord, help us not to look back. But help us to keep pressing toward the mark for the praise of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Lord, these things we ask in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, you'll give us discerning. And you'll give us wisdom. And most of all, you'll give us your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you, God, for sending Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you came. We say, Holy Spirit, won't you teach me more about that lovely name? Bless your people this morning, Lord. Help them to recognize the thorn and help them to take it out by the root. And may the seed that fell upon the good ground, may it bring forth some 60, some 30, some 100-fold. In Jesus' name, we say amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless. Let us fall
on our feet this morning. Passing up the best days of present. The only best days, the dear soul of God, only guide and strength, are we made.